So on this Sunday, it's a little bit different. Normally, we would be on the fourth Sunday of ordinary time. But instead, this Sunday, we celebrate the feast of the presentation of the Lord. And we actually do something here that follows directly from our Jewish heritage. So what we heard in the gospel speaks to what happened and when the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to present him to the Lord. And so in the law of Moses, if a firstborn male was born to a mother and a father, that son was to be consecrated to the Lord. But there were 7 days and then 33 days after that were a time of waiting for the purification of the child and of the mother. And on the 40th day, that child was taken to the temple to be consecrated to God. So February 2nd is 40 days after Christmas. And normally, right, I would say on average, right, we celebrate the feast of the presentation of the Lord during the week. But when it happens on Sunday, we celebrate it on Sunday in place of the regular Sunday of ordinary time. So we are celebrating today from our own Jewish heritage in the feast of the celebration of God, which is obviously why we hear the gospel for today. This gospel and this feast of the presentation of Jesus is a really fascinating story, not only of Jesus, but is very instructive to us. And I want to mention a few things from the readings that preceded the gospel, most specifically the second reading, the letter to the Hebrews. In the letter to the Hebrews, we hear this, that it was spoken of Jesus, that God did not help the angels, but rather the descendants of Abraham. And therefore he, Jesus, the one who would be the Messiah, the Christ had to become like his brothers and sisters in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God. So one of the commentaries on the life of Jesus that was given to the New Testament Christians, the first century Christians, was this reality that Jesus came to be like his brothers and sisters in all ways. We are instructed that the life of Jesus was not only something he experienced, but that it teaches us what is upon our lives as well. And so, listen again now to the gospel of the presentation of God in consideration of how this then reflects upon you and reflects upon me. One of the things that we hear in the feast of that presentation about Jesus, who has come to be like his brothers and sisters in all things, is that when he was presented to the temple in Jerusalem, there was a holy man named Simeon who came forth. He held the child Jesus in his arms because it was prophesied to him by the Holy Spirit, revealed to him that he would see the Christ, the one who was going to save his people. And so he blessed God and he says, "Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." And it says that Jesus, his father and mother, were amazed at what was said about him. When Jesus is presented before the Lord, someone comes into his life and the life of his family to prophesy about who he was and what he was going to accomplish. Because it was told to that man, Simeon, that he would see the Christ. What does that word mean, the Christ? Christ, of course, comes from the same word that we have in English, Christian, and chrism. To be the Christ means to be the anointed one. In fact, that's what the word Christian means, one who is anointed. In the Old Testament times, it was the kings and it was the priests who were anointed with oil. They were oiled by God because of the very specific mission that they were given. Jesus himself, because he was called Christ, was also the anointed. And when you were baptized, on the day that you were baptized, you were given the chrism oil and you too became anointed. So you and I took on the identity of Jesus by grace on the day of our baptism. And remember, Jesus came to be like you and like me in all ways, except sin. We know that. But with the exception of sin, what happened in the life of Jesus is supposed to mirror what happens in the life of not only Christ, but the Christian, the anointed one. So here on the presentation of Jesus, a holy man, Simeon, comes to prophesy to Jesus and his family about who Jesus is and what Jesus is going to do. This is really instructive about our lives as Christians, because as Christians, taking on the identity of Jesus, Jesus, because he was the Christ, we say this, we remember this from our religion classes, or you've heard us say this before, Jesus being the Christ was priest, he was prophet, and he was king. The ones that were anointed and the ones that did the anointing, priests, prophets, and kings. And so you also, because you're a Christian and you take on the identity of Jesus by grace, that makes you a priest, a prophet, and a king. And because you are like Christ, what happened to Jesus is supposed to happen to you and to me. And what happened to Jesus on the day of his presentation was that he was prophesied over. Someone came into his presence, into the presence of his family, and said, "This is the identity of this one, and this is what he is going to accomplish." He said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." God works in a lot of ways. One of the ways that God works is through the gift of prophecy, a supernatural word given to someone, not for themselves, but for someone else. Is it possible for us to know our identity and our mission by prayer directly with God himself? Of course, that's the principal way that we know ourselves, and it's the principal way that we know that what we're supposed to do in our life. But it's not the only way that we experience God's word to us, for us, specifically about us. There was a prophetic call upon Jesus' life that was given him by another person that God anointed, so that Jesus could be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of God's people. If you are a Christian, it means, amongst other things, you are anointed with a specific identity and mission that is to you alone, that nobody else fulfills. You've heard me say this now a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. And one of the ways that we come to know these things about ourselves is because other people say them to us. It's part of what it means to be a Christian. You are to be prophesied over. You are to receive supernatural words about your identity and about your mission from someone who is not you. And not only that, but because you're a prophet, you also have the task of being that voice for someone else, which means if Jesus comes to be like us in all ways, and we are to be like Jesus in all ways, and these are the things that Jesus did, and these are the things that happened to Jesus, so we are to do the same, and so we are to receive the same. Do you know that as a Christian, God has things to say to you for someone else so that that person can be built up in their identity, in their mission? God has words to say to you as a prophet, as a Christian prophet, after the likeness of Jesus, because someone else needs to know in a deeper way what their identity is and what their mission is. And because you are a Christian, you are also supposed to expect that someone else along the various paths of life at certain times is going to give those same types of words to you supernaturally. So here's the question. Is that what we're experiencing as Christians? Is that something we've ever heard as Christians? It's very clear, right? The Word of God doesn't lie. Our Father doesn't lie. Father says, your Messiah came to be like you in all ways. And these are amongst the things that happened to the Messiah, which means they are amongst the things that happened to you. Simeon blessed Joseph and Mary and said, "This child will be destined. This child will be a sign, and the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." And a prophetess, Anna, comes into the presence to do the same thing, giving thanks to God and speaking about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. So in the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, this is something we ought to pray about. Have you ever had someone say to you something about yourself that just like somehow like there was a light that popped on, you're like, "Oh my gosh." Or have you ever said something to someone that really like revealed that to them something that wasn't clear to them before, or that really helped them, that really showed them what they were to do or who they were? You see, this is one of the ways that grace moves. Grace moves in a prophetic way, in a supernatural way. I'm not talking to you about the power of positive thinking. I'm not talking to you about the natural kind of encouragement that we're all capable of doing. I'm talking about the fact that because we are anointed, because we are an instrument of God, so that we become a light of revelation and the glory of God's people, this is one of the ways that we participate in the experience of the divine life of Jesus in us. That's beautiful. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I think that's awesome. Because what it does is it shows you and it shows me that there are things for us to give and things for us to receive that nobody else can give and nobody else can receive. It shows us the way that God decided in his wisdom to move in his people, to remind us that every single person is necessary. Necessary, irreplaceable. That can be a super scary thing. Oh my gosh, like, there are things that someone else is supposed to tell me about myself that they're supposed to reveal to me. Why is God telling someone else secrets? It's fine, don't worry. Being a prophet doesn't mean that we replace God. We don't become a human talisman. We don't become a fortune teller. We don't become a shaman. Scripture also makes clear that when we prophesy, when God anoints us in that way for that purpose, it's always in part. St. Paul says, when we prophesy in part. Only there in heaven shall we know fully. God gives us a specific ministry as Christians, not because he wants us to replace him, but because he wants to partner with us. And so even in prophecy, even in giving words and receiving words, we are still to rely upon God. That's the way that it functions. It's the way it works. That's why we don't have to feel overwhelmed or overburdened, or we don't have to feel like, "Oh, I need to be searching for someone else, what only God can give me alone." No, let's be clear. Simeon spoke only what the Holy Spirit told him to speak. And Mary and Joseph received what the Holy Spirit meant for them to receive. And it became a cause of wonder and amazement and the glorification of God. So that is, I think, a homework assignment this week, if there ever was one. If you want to think about, why is the presentation of the Lord important? What is it saying not only about the life of Jesus, what is it saying about my life? What is it saying about my expectation? Do I expect to receive from God words from my brothers and sisters that they are to reveal to me? And am I supposed to reveal things to them as well that God wants them to know? That is the heart of prophecy. In a supernatural way, to be able to identify what God is doing, and to be able to identify what God is about to do in a way that God alone knows. And we just get the adventure of just being on the roller coaster with him and being able to participate in that and to say like, "Wow, wow." For us as a church to be prophets, we will build each other up and we will reveal God's glory to the world and be a light of revelation, so that what is within the darkness may be brought out to the light, so that God may be glorified.